The definition in the Bible of anxiety is almost always what we're talking about right now, uncertainty about what's going to happen.
How do you know in yourself or with somebody else that they're struggling with worry?
For most people, it's the sort of mental part where they can't switch their mind off. Their mind is racing, or they're brooding about something, or they ruminate about something. They can't get it out of their mind. And so they're sort of hyper-focused on something like that. And sometimes the body.
Everybody listening to us right now, your mind might be trying to go there. And what we want to do is bring it to God's peace. Rick, practically, how do people roll up their sleeves and actually try to pursue peace? Because you can't make yourself stop worrying by just trying not to worry.
I will think about having like an arrow, a quiver full of arrows that you can pull out if necessary when you're feeling anxious. And I tend to think of them as spiritual, physical, and then mental.
Hey, you probably noticed from the day in the corner that this video was filmed a while ago, but we liked it so much we wanted to bring it back to your attention. Let us know what you think in the comments. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel or head over to becomenew.com for more content like this. Let's get back into it.
So, Rick, I'm so glad to get to talk to you. Now, we get to talk every day, but now we get to talk for a bunch of friends. And this has been such a crazy year, economic volatility, political unrest. You see people for issues of anxiety and worry all the time. You see more over the holidays because it's so tough. And this year, especially, as we're going through this journey of Advent together, I thought, while we're walking through the Advent season together and looking for Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace? And you've talked with people for a lot of years about peace and dealing with anxiety and worry and weights. And I know a lot of folks who are listening are dealing with that really heavy. I'd love to hear wisdom from you for real people about how do you deal with anxiety and worry. So what are your thoughts? What are your wisdom? And by the way, welcome.
Thank you, John. I'm really glad to be here and just have so enjoyed listening to your various Advent selections. That has been a great way to do devotions during this Advent season for me and for Sherry. You know, I was thinking about talking about anxiety. And of course, to me, this is not rocket science, but it seems like this year, whatever anybody is dealing with is amplified, maybe sometimes exponentially, by the pandemic, the racial issues, and political landscape. So anxiety, the way that I have learned to think about anxiety, you've heard me say before that the psychological core of depression, something we all deal with, is always loss. And in similar way, the psychological core of anxiety, it's very clear to me, is the issue of uncertainty. How do we human beings deal with the things that we can't know, the things that we're uncertain about? And one of the natural outflows of that is the emotion that we call anxiety or worry. I wrote an article years ago for a magazine that was asking me to sort of explain and go through what does the Bible teach about anxiety. And I went through and I looked at what Jesus taught and John and Peter and Paul, and various people in the Old Testament. And it turns out that the definition in the Bible of anxiety is almost always what we're talking about right now. It's worry about tomorrow. It's uncertainty about what's going to happen. And so be anxious for nothing and let not your heart be troubled are the various ways that the biblical authors and Jesus himself would talk about dealing with anxiety. And it basically is the idea that the Bible's prescription to dealing with uncertainty and the future, which by definition is uncertain, is to put the future in the hands of the one who owns the future, to surrender.
Rick, if somebody does wrestle with anxiety, what are some of the signs of it? How do you know in yourself or with somebody else that they're struggling with worry?
Well, usually there's a lot of physical symptoms. You might have your heart racing and your mind is racing, and you might have insomnia and just an overall feeling of tension. But I would say for most people, it's the sort of mental part where they can't switch their mind off. Their mind is racing, or they're brooding about something, or they ruminate about something, they can't get it out of their mind. And so they're sort of hyper-focused on something like that. And sometimes the body...
Everybody listening to us right now, your mind might be trying to go there. And what we want to do is bring it to God's peace. Rick, practically, how do people roll up their sleeves and actually try to pursue peace? Because you can't make yourself stop worrying by just trying not to worry.
That is very true. Well, so I think anxiety management is a challenge for everybody. So I will think about having like an arrow, a quiver full of arrows that you can pull out if necessary when you're feeling anxious. And I tend to think of them as spiritual, physical, and then mental. And the spiritual one is very much what we've been talking about, is training yourself to put the future into the hands of the one who owns the future, trusting God. And many of your own teachings, John, you've talked about faith. You define faith as surrendering outcomes and putting outcomes in God's hand. So I think that's part of the practical benefit of walking with Jesus, is having that capacity to put your worries about tomorrow or next year or your job or your health or somebody's health in your family, that sort of thing, in God's hand, and take the onus of it off of your own shoulders. So that would be one of the arrows.
We're going to be talking tomorrow, actually, about exactly that in the life of Mary. A lot of times people think, if I follow Jesus, he should take away my troubling circumstances. And actually, you don't get to peace through circumstances at all. So that relationship is critical. And then what's the second arrow?
So the second arrow, physical ways that you can. An author years ago said you can't have an anxious, tense mind in a relaxed body. So finding ways to calm your body down. Sometimes you can do that by meditating on scripture, doing relaxation, exercising, looking at your sleep, just all of the ways that your physical... I've just finished reading a book that I reread called The Body Knows the Score. Mm-hmm. And it's really a book about this idea that the body will tell you if you're holding trauma, holding anxiety, holding worry, and then targeting, you know, strategies, yoga. I think you've done some yoga, that sort of thing. And, you know, any emotional challenge can be helped by, of course, focusing on things like your relaxation and your sleep and your nutrition and your exercise.
So people listening to us right now could take a moment and scan their bodies and see, is there tension in my shoulders? Am I breathing shallowly? And just a deep breath and to relax. It's amazing when we do that with our bodies, it's easier spiritually to hand problems over to God. So there's the spiritual, there's the physical. What's the third arrow?
The third arrow is sort of an interesting idea that it's come up in maybe the last 10 or 15 years of my practice. And that is, it used to be back when we were getting our training, John, we were...
In the late 1890s?
Yeah, way, way long ago. We were trained that basically when you have anxiety or depression or anger, you should argue with the thoughts that give rise to them. And that still does hold water. But sort of a new development has been to work at, maybe again, I would say, train yourself to allow or bring on or welcome anxiety when it comes to you. It turns out that if you feel anxious or you worry and you hate feeling anxious and you hate worrying, you end up exacerbating or amplifying the anxiety, the problem. And so one of the ways to play with that is to, sometimes you have to do this kind of aggressively. A stupid example is, I don't like heavy traffic. I'm going to go into LA to see the Dodgers or go to some kind of event in LA. I'll always hit a lot of traffic, and I don't naturally like traffic. So I have, you know, as I was learning about this way of dealing with anxiety, I will sometimes say out loud, and my kids will make fun of me when we run into a traffic jam, this is exactly what I need right now. Bring this on. Or I had a client a few years ago, a pastor's wife, who had a big problem with anxiety. And we were talking about how much she hated anxiety. And it turned out that was the biggest problem for her. If she could hate it less and allow it more and welcome it, we would use the psalmist idea of owning but not enthroning your emotions. And that ended up being very helpful for her about anxiety. One of the things she did was she named the anxiety. She called it Wilma. And so she would always, when she started to worry or start to feel anxious, she would say, "Welcome, Wilma." And there was something about just taking that moment and allowing it, rather than fighting it, rather than being very self-critical, that she had it. And again, it was a way of owning, because we noticed that in the Psalms. I read a Psalm every morning, John, and the psalmist, and there's more negative emotion Psalms than positive emotion Psalms. Mm. And the psalmist is always very open about his or her despair or anger or anxiety or worry, but always in the structure of the psalm, moves it into a sort of a not enthroning, but giving it to God.
So, Rick, one last question.
Yeah.
This has been a challenging year for the whole world. It's been a very challenging one for me and my family, and I've been so grateful for you every day to walk through that together. It has been for you and Sherry also a really challenging season. And would you mind just saying a word or two about what that journey has been like for you personally and how you have had to deal with uncertainty?
Yeah, Sherry had a very serious second bout with cancer last year, a bunch of surgeries, 7 surgeries in 2019. And the symptoms and issues kind of continue. And I think in our different way, both of us have really benefited from what we were just talking about, being mm-hmm. able to, of course, I can share my feelings about this regularly with you, and we can share them with each other, but to find ways to not enthrone that worry, boy, this whole idea of uncertainty really speaks to me even as I'm thinking about the question, because I don't know how this is going to turn out. No, but I'm just going to trust God. And I've got friends like you and a wife like Sherry that helps me with that. And I think I get to help her with that as well. So
thank you for telling us about that. And I think how often when we talk, there'll be an expression that you will often use that I won't quote exactly, but it will be an expression of uncertainty and the pain of uncertain outcomes. And it drives both of us back to there's only one foundation, and it's not outcomes, and that's Jesus. So thank you. And everybody today, it's the Prince of Peace. And if you want one phrase to take with you, welcome Wilma, welcome worry, welcome troubles. I hope you invite the Prince of Peace to bring peace into your life and your day-to-day, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, if you enjoyed that video, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John Ortberg or Become New. You can also head to our website, becomenew.com, where we have a bunch more resources you might be interested in, like free downloads, books, and a library of videos for you to explore, learning how to grow spiritually one day at a time. If you've got a prayer request, you can text it to us at 855-888-0444, and you'll receive a written response from someone on our team who will pray for you. You can also text the word become to that same number to receive text alerts whenever we drop a new video. Glad that you're here, and we'll catch you next time.